Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. It's been hot, hot there this weekend, gradually getting up into the 90s, which makes Scandinavians very short-tempered. As soon as it gets up around 75, they become very, very impatient when they're perspiring. There was a lot of shouting going on Main Street here the other day. Daryl Tolliver driving along Main Street, and here came Mr. Hoppy, and he came through that stoplight, and then he made a left turn right in front of Daryl, and Daryl leaned on his horn. He said, "What are you doing?" "Well, he's making a left turn. He's been doing that for 50 years. Everybody knows that's the way he comes, and he goes back. He predates that traffic light." Old man stood there blinking, that's all. He didn't know what was happening, just turning left, that's all he was doing. So that's the town I live in. It's a town of habits, and one more habit here this last week. Yesterday, actually, Thursday was the last day of school, and they packed it up and they went home, and Friday was graduation. Temperature was in the 90s. 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon is when Mr. Halverson looks up at the sky, and he has to make the call, either indoors or outdoors. By 3 o'clock, he waited until 3:30. There seemed to be clouds in the sky, and there was a thunderstorm forecast, as there was for us today in Chicago, but he decided to keep it outdoors. He's made the wrong call a few times. There was the year, I think it was 2008, when the storm rolled in and the commencement speaker was standing up in front of people and talking, as I am talking right now, and 100 graduates sat there watching the sky, wondering if it actually could rain on their own graduation. Yes, it can, and yes, it did, and a few drops started to come down. And the speaker kept on talking, and a teacher came up and held an umbrella over his head, and then the wind started to blow, and they got to see a man giving a speech, knowing that he ought to stop, and unable to, umbrella up over his head, and then the power went out, and so nobody could hear him at all, but he kept on talking, and then sheets of rain came down, and he talked a little bit more. People remember that graduation very, very clearly back in 2008. They don't remember a single word that he said, which is a lesson for all of us writers and intellectuals and so-called intellectuals. I spoke at graduation back in 1985 at Lake Wobegon, back when I was famous back then, and the show, believe it or not, was considered sort of edgy. I mean, it was kind of hip briefly, part of that spring and some of that summer of 1985. And so I gave a speech, and it was a good speech, but all that people remember of that speech is the limerick that I had written for the occasion. There once was a young high school grad, got a job, and he cried, "I'm so glad to be given this chance. I could pee in my pants." And they looked and they saw that he had. people were so appreciative of this limerick and got such a warm reaction that day, 85, that I decided to go for the bonus shot. And I did. There was a Lake Wobegon fellow said, "Why is my urine bright yellow? Was it something I ate, or could it be Kate, who I dated on Saturday? Hello." And I said that one, and there was a shout from the crowd. It was like right back around there. It was back in the bleachers, and somebody yelled, "Daddy, Daddy." And this old man had collapsed, and they laid him out on the grass, and the ambulance came, and they gave him oxygen, and they put him up on a gurney, and they worked on him, but they were not rushing. You could see they were not hurrying. He was dead. He died right during that very vulgar limerick that I had recited of my own free will. And whenever I go back home, even now, all these years later, 31 years later, people look at me and I can see what they're thinking. They're thinking the last thing old man Swanson had on his mind was your joke about venereal disease. That's how he died. If you'd said something beautiful or something profound or quoted something from Scripture, but no, you did that terrible, terrible joke, and he died with his mind in the gutter. Thank goodness he was Lutheran, and, you know, they believed in sanctification by grace, but still. And they've never invited me back. I don't expect that they ever will invite me back. And meanwhile, here I am. I'm coming towards the end of my radio career, and I'm very aware that my radio audience out there is getting old and fragile, and many of them with heart problems, and so I just don't dare be that funny anymore. I think of the responsibility. Thousands of people listen to the show, literally, and many of them with bum tickers and liable for strokes and so on, and I don't want them to go out of this world on some stupid joke like, old age is a treacherous bridge. It occurs to the poor and the rich. You get up in the night and on comes the light and you find you have pissed in the fridge. I would not want to be responsible for that being somebody's last sentient moment on this earth. So this year's commencement speaker was not me. It was a man from my class, though, the class of 1960. And it was alarming how old he looked. He was just so fragile. He climbed three steps up onto the platform, and with every step he took, the audience held its breath. It looked like he was about to lose his balance and topple over, and he got to the top, and he sort of momentarily leaned off to one side, and somebody reached out to brace him, and he was all winded, and the problem is that you could tell, I mean, he's all tan. He lives in Florida. He's lived there for years, and he plays golf, and he runs these half marathons, and it's worn him out. It just has, physical exercise has worn him out. He's been working at keeping physically fit, and it just has ruined his body. Hiking over rough ground has torn his knee joints and his hip joints to pieces, and running tears your whole bone structure to pieces. People who sit in a chair and read a good book are very limber and very youthful. It's been shown time and time again. Writing at a computer is all the exercise that a person really actually needs. Anyway, he limped up to the podium to give his speech, and we saw four pages of it blow away in the wind, and that made everybody very, very happy. So all of the part about daring to be yourself, you know, and we learn from our mistakes and so on, that all blew away, and he skipped on to the next part about being prepared and being collaborative and the importance of good timing, which are qualities that are appreciated by many people, including the mafia. And he'd been gone from Lake Wobegon a long time, and he'd forgotten the tradition of the class joke. Every year, there's something. And sometimes there are firecrackers that go off suddenly. And once they hooked up a little rubber hose to the front of the lectern, and Mr. Halverson was giving his speech, and suddenly somebody released the hose, and this large, dark, wet spot appeared right on the front of his pants, and he jumped back, and the lectern rolled off the stage with his speech on it. They'd released the brake on it, and this year we were waiting for something, as he went on and he talked about personal responsibility, and we were waiting and hoping for the shoe to drop, and he droned on, and we were afraid that we have ruined these children by admiring them too much. Child worship. It was not part of the tradition back in the day, young people. We had the benefit of cruelty, the cruelty of our parents and our classmates, and it toughened us. But now you go to graduation parties the week before graduation, and there are these shrines to each child. Pictures of when they were small children and little ugly things that they made in craft class and all the rest of it. Child worship is now a part of our... Back in the day, we had one tiny picture about 2x3 in the yearbook, and each and every one of us in the class of 1960 looked like a convicted criminal because we were brought up with no self-esteem whatsoever. Don't think you are somebody was what they preached to us. So we didn't. And at graduation, they didn't say congratulations. Nobody said congratulations. They said, so you got a job for the summer. And you were supposed to say, yes, I'm going to be picking tomatoes and sweet corn for Mr. Peterson. And then I'm going to be working on a road crew and laying asphalt. And then towards the end of August, I'm going to be picking potatoes. That was the right answer for you to give. These kids today, they have this sense of entitlement. I mean, we have cherished them so much that they don't dare stand up to us and rebel against us. We were worried about this on Friday night. And then there was this big clap of thunder and lightning, this stroke of lightning, 100,000 volts, 500,000 volts lashing into the earth, and it struck a tree just up on the hill, just above the football field. And the speaker jumped back, and suddenly there was a dark, wet spot on the front of his pants. A spontaneous reaction. Lightning had hit that tree up on the hill, just right above the football field. And that's what we will always remember about graduation this year, and nothing that he said whatsoever. That's what we will remember. We will remember that any one of us could have been extinguished, pulverized, right at that moment. Right at that moment, all of us, everyone who was there, the rest of our lives is a gift. It's a pure gift. It could have ended, and it did not. Keep that in mind. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.